Association of Devotees of the Lord. So, of course, that's a very broad topic. And there's so much to talk about. First of all, who are the those who came, who are coming on, to give a report for their class? Can you raise your hand? Who you are, sir? Okay. Well, the two of you. Okay. So I'll try to speak in such a way that you understand. If you have any questions afterwards, you can ask. Okay. The other garland is just now coming. Okay, we'll begin. Okay. So in the scriptures, it's explained that if one begins acting according to one's constitutional position or natural position, or that's also called Sanatana Dharma, one's eternal duty or one's eternal function, then one develops all the qualities that help one act according to that position. And our eternal position is that we're devotees of God, that we naturally are devoted to God. We naturally love God. It's our natural state. And of course, loving God means loving everyone. So the natural state of the soul is to love and to receive the love of others. So as one begins practicing to do that, then all those natural qualities become manifest gradually. And they're beautiful qualities. They're the qualities that we're all attracted to. And so I thought that I would begin this class by reading what are described as the 26 basic qualities of a devotee, or of one who has become purified, and one who is acting according to one's constitutional position as servant, devotee, lover of God. And as we read these qualities, you can see that to love God means to love all of his parts and parcels, or all living entities, all of his children. And so many of these qualities have to do with how we relate to each other. It's very interesting. So I took this from the Pancharatrik Pradeep, a book that has been compiled by members of our movement. And this particular section describes those 26 qualities of the devotee. It's explained here. Anyone who has developed unalloyed, unflinching devotional service unto the Lord develops his original good qualities as spirit soul. The spirit soul, as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has all the good qualities of the Lord. When the spirit soul is contaminated by the material modes of nature, one is considered good or bad with reference to the material qualities. But when one is transcendental to all the material qualities, all the good qualities come out. These qualities of a devotee, 26 in number, are listed as follows. Kind to everyone. Does not quarrel with anyone. Fixed in the absolute truth. Equal to everyone. Faultless, charitable, mild, clean, simple, benevolent, peaceful, completely attached to Krishna, has no material hankering, meek, steady, self-controlled, does not eat more than required, sane, respectful, humble, grave, compassionate, friendly, poetic, expert, and 26, silent. Of course, these qualities are elaborated upon. They're fairly easy to understand. The last quality, silent. We might have a question about that. In this context, silence means to only speak about God and topics related to service to God and helping others serve God. In other words, there's a word in Sanskrit called pajapa. Pajapa or... Okay, you can get to Maharaj. Okay. Pajapa means unnecessary talk. Talk that has nothing to do with purification or advancement in life. So in that context, the word silent is being described here. So these are wonderful qualities. And of course, if we meditate on these qualities, we can understand that we would really like to associate with people who have these qualities. And the wonderful thing about associating with devotees, even though we might not be pure devotees or completely free from material attachments, etc., even though we might still have some of the materialistic qualities that we're all familiar with, still, if one begins practicing the science or the process of bhakti, yoga, or devotional service, if one begins engaging in those activities of serving God, then these dormant spiritual qualities begin manifesting. And when they manifest, or the more they manifest, the more attractive one becomes. And the more one appreciates the association of devotees. Just like all of us, it's explained, are pure within. That purity has to come out. And by engaging in these activities of devotion, that purity does come out. And as it's coming out, that can be seen and felt by others. And so everyone in this room has some desire for purification, for advancing spiritually. And that can certainly be felt. And this is how we affect the atmosphere. And this is why an atmosphere like the atmosphere that is created by all of you coming together, this is why that atmosphere is so pleasing, so relishable. And this is why we like to associate with devotees, because these qualities that we've read about, they're starting to come out. And it's the most wonderful thing, because it inspires us to want to develop these qualities as well as we see them in others. Someone might be humble, someone might be poetic, someone might be expert at service, someone might be mild, someone might be compassionate, etc. We become inspired by these qualities. And this is very good, because we're always influenced by the qualities that we associate with. Once Prabhupada used one verse in the Bhagavad Gita that pertains to becoming more attached and bewildered materially, where Krishna explains, by contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes attached. And from this attachment, lust develops, etc. And then one becomes frustrated, one becomes angry, one becomes deluded, one's intelligence becomes bewildered, and one just remains materially engrossed. So this verse is talked about quite frequently because we know that we don't want to become or remain materially engrossed. So we shouldn't contemplate the objects of the senses. So once Prabhupada used that particular verse to explain how one becomes attached to devotees of God. He explained that by contemplating, associating with devotees, then one becomes attached to devotees of God. And then this desire increases. And of course, the result changes from there. One becomes elevated. One doesn't become degraded by this association. So there are verses and statements by Prabhupada that explain the value of association of devotees of God and the value of association of asat sangha tyaga, those who are absorbed in asat, that which is illusory, the material conception of life. I found this nice verse from the Brahma Vivarta Purana that is very nice to read. Association with your devotee plants the imperishable seedling of devotional service to you. This is a prayer to the Lord. The rain cloud of your devotee's words waters that seedling and makes it grow. The burning sun of a non-devotee's words makes that plant wither and dry. The water of remembering your transcendental qualities brings it back to life. And there's one more nice quote from Srila Prabhupada that I'd like to mention. Prabhupada says, instead of thinking, unless I have a drink, I will go mad. So maybe we don't think like that. Maybe we're not alcoholics. But we have our attachments, right? And we obsess on certain things. And we finally come to the point of saying to ourselves, well, unless I have that or eat that or whatever it is, I'll go mad. I have to have it. That's it. So, in other words, Prabhupada is referring to material desire. And he's using the example of someone who's an alcoholic. Instead of thinking, unless I have a drink, I will go mad, one should think, unless I associate with a sadhu, a devotee, I will go mad. When we can think in this way, we will become liberated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stated that he wants every village in the entire world to be a center for Krishna consciousness so that people can take advantage of sadhus and in turn become sadhus. This is the mission of this Krishna consciousness movement. So most of us here can understand the value of association of devotees from what we've read and also from what we've experienced. And we also know that association with non-devotees or those who are not at all inclined towards spiritual advancement is not very enlivening. Of course, we have to associate with all types of people because we're out in the world. And that's fine. When it refers to not associating with materialistically minded people, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains very nicely that associating means to take on or to take their association, to be influenced by what they're giving you or trying to give you, or what they're, how they're being. It doesn't mean to not be with them, but it means to not be influenced by them. So that's what it means to avoid the association of non-devotees. And if one is a little bit enlivened in spiritual life, a little bit strong in Krishna consciousness, one can associate with everybody. And instead of taking on what they have to give, to help them with what you have to give. So we should associate with non-devotees or with materialistic people in that sense. So associating with devotees, what does that mean? It's explained that there are three types of association that we can take advantage of and become enlivened by. It's explained that one should be compassionate towards those who are less advanced. There are many who are just beginning in spiritual life. We should show compassion on those devotees. We should make friendship with those who are like-minded on an equal platform. And those devotees who are more advanced, we should take shelter of them. We should hear from them. And we should serve them. And so in our lives, if we have the proper balance between these three types of association, then we'll be very fulfilled and we'll make very nice advancement in spiritual life. So being compassionate upon those who are less advanced, as opposed to, what? Belittling, ignoring, neglecting in some way, not being sensitive, making friendship with those who are on equal level. What prevents us from making friendship? Rivalry, perhaps. I was just reading in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita how the Yadus, they would sit together, free from rivalry. It's very nice to think like that. Because if there's rivalry, then it's very difficult to make intimate friendship, to have intimate association. And without that intimate association, there can't be a proper exchange of love. And that's what nourishes us in spiritual life. So those are these qualities are born of our envy. If we're a little bit envious, those who are less advanced will feel pretty good about that, because that puts us in a higher position. And so our compassion, that love and compassion won't be able to manifest. And so that reciprocation can't be there. That loving reciprocation, which is the real fulfillment of the soul. So, once again, if the envy is there, with those on an equal platform, then the rivalry will be there. We won't be able to take advantage of that intimacy, and the loving exchanges can't be there. And if, out of envy, lack of humility, pride, we don't take shelter of those who are more advanced in spiritual life, and we don't serve them, then we can't take advantage of what they have to give us. So associating with devotees, as we know, it's an art to give our love to all the devotees. And if we're able to do this, then we can relish that association and feel very much nurtured in spiritual life. So that's what it means to associate with devotees. We're all looking for intimacy, And that intimacy can be had in all these different ways. And the more we act in such a way that is pleasing and subdue those lower qualities, if they might manifest or try to manifest, then the more satisfied we'll be in spiritual life. Does anyone have any questions on any of these points at this point? Question? Did it make sense? Okay. Yes. The three types of devotees. Yeah.
Is there any way that you could go down? If you were born is there a type of way of lesson that you would actually go down?
Sure. That's a good question. One, because we're always, there's always someone who is more advanced than us. Right. So we should always think of ourselves as on a lower level. At the same time, we can always find those who are on the same level, and there we can always find those who are less experienced in spiritual life. So we're always down because we always have someone to look up to, and it's important to realize that. And as far as going down. In other words, can one lose one's spiritual qualities? Right?
As far as becoming enlightened, is the knowledge what keeps you growing and what keeps you, mature spiritually, or is it actually the devotion to the
religion? It's both, because with the devotion comes the knowledge. What is the verse down? Would you think of it? No. Knowledge in Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitakam, which means by engaging in devotional service, automatically knowledge and detachment follow. So if the devotion is there, everything comes. But if we offend others, and we act in a way that is contrary to devotion, then our consciousness becomes covered over. We experience this a lot, right? Sometimes your consciousness is on a higher platform than others. You've experienced that. Sometimes you get angry very easily, or other times you don't, even though the same thing might happen. This is all coming about as a result of what we've done previously. These are reactions. So if we're offensive in our demeanor, in our activities, our consciousness becomes covered over, becomes clouded over. And so one can lose that feeling of devotion and that understanding. Does that make sense? Hare Krishna. Thank you. There was one more?
I was actually, you were mentioning the two fifth characteristics, and one of them was grade, which is one of them interesting definitions. Because I had a Christian who got a lot more to do with grade and some of the other things. I don't want to just be clear, just a joke, which is very serious.
But one thing, before I turn the mic over to Maharaj, so he can further answer and also speak. That's a nice question because when I first got to know the devotees, I saw that they had two qualities that I was especially attracted to. I saw that they were disciplined, very disciplined. And I also saw that they were very happy. So it's not that the two really contradict one another. We might think, well, that, well, if you're disciplined, then you can't be really, really happy. Like you were saying, grave and fun-loving. So, as I got to know the devotees more, I saw that by that discipline, by rising early, by doing the meditation, chanting, by being controlled, they were able to absorb their consciousness more and more spiritually, and that's the real happiness that I was looking for also. So Marge, would you like to answer that in relationship to gravity and fun-loving?
Srila Prabhupada explains that grave means, and this is also one of Krishna's qualities, that you cannot know what he's thinking. And that's it's just a quality. Sometimes one might have thoughts or feelings that would not be beneficial for other people to know. So one keeps them inside. It doesn't mean the person is not happy or joyful, but it just means that he's not letting you know fully, at least, what he's thinking or feeling. Because that might be more beneficial for you. So it's just one of the qualities of the devotee. It's one of the qualities of Krishna. Krishna has 64 qualities in full, and a pure devotee has 50 of those 64 qualities, but not to the same quantity as Krishna, but the same qualities, and one of them is grave. Srila Prabhupada was grave. Sometimes he just didn't know what he was thinking. And sometimes he was grave, or a devotee could be grave, because he's absorbed in thinking of Krishna. He's not thinking of you. And so it's not particularly a priority to let you know what he's thinking or feeling. His priority at that time is his internal reciprocation with Krishna. So he's fully joyful, but not in a sort of frivolous way. Like the ocean, grave like the ocean. Hare Krishna.